Breaking It Down with Frank McKay. This is 103.9 LI News Radio.
I'd like to welcome everyone back to Breaking It Down. Our very special guest today is a very talented man, a 70-year-old unknown comic. Wow. Murray Langston. He's the author of the book Journey to the Unknown, which I think is very, very
Journey
clever.
Journey Through the Unknown.
Through the Unknown. I'm sorry.
Yeah, true, not to.
Through. Okay, Journey yeah. Through the Unknown. Okay.
Through my life as an unknown person and comic and lover and all that stuff.
Yeah. Now, before the break, Murray was telling us that he got threatened by Frank Sinatra. I don't know if he was just giving a shtick or if he actually got threatened by Frank Sinatra, which is a scary deal, by the way. Frank was nobody to mess with.
It was a nerve-wracking time when he called. But it's a very funny story, too.
Yeah, please.
And it's verified by his people who are still around, too.
Go ahead. Hey, we believe you. Who wouldn't believe a guy with a bag on his head?
Yeah, no. What happened is I was in my bathroom shaving one day, and the phone rang, and I pick it up, and it's this gruff voice, and it says, "Is this Murray Langston?" You know, and I go, "Yeah," and I think it's up my buddy Joe Battaglia, who has a gruff voice. So I said, "What do you want, Joe?" And he says, "Not Joe. This is Frank Sinatra." And he starts, you know, "Can you curse on this radio station?"
Huh? No, we can't. But
okay. And he starts calling me every name, every dirty name in the book. "You dirty so-and-so. You son of a, you ever mention my effing name on TV, I'll break your effing legs." He just went through this tirade.
No kidding. Oh, you took a shot at him on TV or something?
Well, you know, the thing is, I didn't know because I didn't use Sinatra's in my act at all. But I did a show called Make Me Laugh. I don't know if you remember that show.
Yeah, I do remember that show.
It was a very popular comedy show that I did a bunch of back in those days. And anyway, I didn't know, and I'd totally forgotten because this is like a year or two later. And I guess he saw a rerun of that show. But anyway, so he's calling me these names, and I'm laughing because I think it's just my buddy Joe. I said, "F you, Joe, blah, blah, this." And he's going, "Don't you F me. This is Frank Sinatra." And he's cursing me out again, telling me what he's going to do. And I'm laughing because I don't remember telling a joke. So I think it's this guy, Joe. So it's just going back and forth. And he says, "I'm telling you, this is Frank Sinatra." And I said, "Sing my way, a-hole," you know. And he just got, and he said, "You," and he called me a bunch of other names and slammed the phone down on me.
Wow.
Right? So I go back to shaving thinking, you know, that idiot Joe was made a fool of himself or whatever. And all of a sudden the phone rings again, okay? And I pick up the phone and he goes, "Is this Murray Langston?" I go, "Yeah." He said, "This is Milton Berle." He said, "Do you recognize my voice?" And, of course, I recognize Milton Berle because, coincidentally, I had just worked with Milton Berle on a show called The Everyday Show a few months before. Anyway, he says, "Look, Frank just called me. I guess you didn't think you were talking to him." And I go, no. And, you know, all of a sudden, I'm going, "What the hell is going on here at this point?" And I said, "Well, first of all, it can't be because I don't do jokes on Sinatra." Then he told me, he said, he saw some show called Make Me Laugh, and he said, "You did some joke about him." And the joke was so simple, too. I was trying to scrounge for some jokes, and I put a bunch of – and I read a newspaper, and I said one of the things I said, "Oh, and here's some other news. Frank Sinatra is going to open up a halfway house for girls who don't go all the way." So that was the joke.
He didn't get a kick out of that.
No, he didn't get. So anyway, Milton Berle says, "You know," he says, "Look," he says, "I'm on your side." He says, "You know, but Frank's gone a bit crazy with his old age, and anybody mentions his name, he goes berserk." So I said, "Well, you know, I mean, why didn't he just ask me nicely?" I said, "I would have, you know, totally respectfully said, 'Geez, I'm sorry, I offended you,' which I would have had, had he talked to me in a decent manner instead of all that cursing." And he said, "Well, that's just Frank." And he says, "I just want to let you know that that was Frank Sinatra." So anyway, as he hangs up, I immediately call the producer of the show Make Me Laugh, a guy named George Foster. And coincidentally, his wife, I ran into his wife not long ago, and she reminded me of the story, too. But George Foster was the producer, and I said, "George, you're never going to guess who just called me." And he goes, "Frank Sinatra?" And I went, "How'd you know?" He says, "Well, where do you think he got your number?" He says, "I didn't want him to break my legs, you know, so he apparently called there, and that's how he got my friggin' number."
Wow.
And George Foster gave him the number. And anyway, so, but that story went around Hollywood quite a bit. And then Kitty Kelly, I don't know if you remember the woman.
Sure, I know. I had her on the show, Kitty Kelly.
Yeah, well, she called me up and asked me if she could put that story in the book because it got to her.
Wow.
And I told her at the time that it didn't happen. I said it didn't happen because I didn't want her to put it in the book. I wanted to save it for my
book. And she would have. She would have if you would have.
Yeah, yeah. So I told her, no, that didn't happen. You know, I just lied to her. Plus, he was still alive. And but that has nothing to do with it anyway. I just didn't want her to, you know, I want to keep that story to myself and the people that I knew, you know.
Yeah, well, wow.
So she never, but that's an absolute true story that happened. You know, that was so funny that.
Wow. That's unbelievable. Just a reminder to everyone listening here, you're listening to Frank McKay, and I have the pleasure of speaking to a very talented guy, and he's the author.
Oh, so you're naked. Otherwise, you wouldn't have the pleasure, now would you?
I am not naked, for the record.
For the record.
My 11-year-old daughter listens to this. I don't want to send her to a psychiatrist.
Oh.
Murray Langston is the unknown comic, and his book is called Journey Through the Unknown.
Right.
And he is absolutely tells all types of stories in this. Talks about Frank Sinatra. Talks about, I'm sure, Sonny and Cher, right? You got some Sonny and Cher?
Oh, yeah, extensively about Sonny and Cher, obviously, because I worked with them for 4.5 years. And sadly, you know, Sonny was sort of a jerk the whole time. No, but none of us really liked him. Cher was pretty cool. She had a great sense of humor, a natural sense of humor. And I actually write about it and how I first learned, because she was young back then, too. She was in her early 20s.
Yeah.
And on the Sonny and Cher show, every Halloween, I played the werewolf, you know. So I spent like 2 hours in makeup.
I remember this. Oh, my God,
hair.
I was a kid.
And I had these, and they would spend, you know, put hair all over my hands and glue it. And so this is how quick Cher was. So one time, the first Halloween show we did, I walked into the rehearsal hall, and Cher was talking to some of the dancers with her back to me. So, and here I was with the werewolf, like I said, with this grotesque hairy hand, so I thought I'd scare her. So I snuck up behind her and slowly put this, you know, really scary hairy hand on her shoulder, and I swear to God, as quick as a whip, she just looked at my hand and yelled out, "Sonny, your mother's here."
Oh, yeah. Very good.
So I knew then, everybody laughed.
She was cool.
She definitely had a sense of humor to contend with, you know?
Yeah, very cool. But Sonny, I heard that about Sonny. And
yeah, you know what Sonny was? Sonny was, and I write, there's only two people that I met, out of all the people that I worked or met with, that had the same thing that I didn't like. That and Billy Crystal was the other one that had the same thing that Sonny had. Because I worked with Billy on Crystal, and the thing about both of them is, if you weren't at their level or above, they didn't want to talk to you. You were nothing to them. But if you were above them, they would kiss their ass. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that was Sonny Bono. He treated us as regulars on the show like we were, you know, there were five of us, Ted Ziegler, Freeman King, and Terry Garr was the one girl, by the way. Terry Garr, remember her?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, she was the one female, worked on all those shows, too. And
Tootsie.
She also, but, you know, he treated us like we were, he would refer to us as atmosphere. He wouldn't give us any respect because we weren't at his level. You knew you were never going to go out to dinner, unlike, let's say, the Carol Burnett show, where the Harvey Kormans and all the regulars, Lyle Wagner, they all were like a family. But that wasn't the case on the Sonny and Cher show. Sadly, we were considered quite distant from Sonny and Cher, even though Cher wasn't really her fault. She was just young, but Sonny was, he knew better. And I thought the same about Billy Crystal. He was the same type. If you were not at his level or above, he didn't want to know you. He didn't want to associate with you.
Did you see Sonny and Cher? And if you don't want to tell tales out of school, which I can't believe, but if you don't want to tell
them all the time, it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
What do I care?
Sonny and Cher, did you see them like lovey-dovey? Did it ever look like they were really in love?
You know, to be honest, as I think back, first of all, I never ever saw them argue. Never ever saw that. Even toward the end, they kept that quite hidden. Lovey-dovey, I didn't see a whole lot of that except on the air, you know, when they would do their show and their spiel at the beginning and the end, but no, I didn't see much of them being lovey-dovey.
Did they hang out together?
Oh, yeah, obviously they were a married couple.
Well, of course, but I'm saying, did they hang out together, like, on the set? Did they like to be around each other?
Well, they worked so much. They had no choice. You know, the show was, like, you know, 90% them, so they were always together because they were always rehearsing
working
or taping.
Yeah. Yeah, I meant more, you know, I always got the impression, I mean, I know a little bit about the history, you know, Phil Spector, you know, Sonny worked for Phil Spector, but to me,
he
seemed like, you know, the brains of the operation, at least back then, before, and that's not by any means diminishing anything that Cher has. Obviously, she's had one hell of a career, a much better career than Sonny ever had, but Sonny really, in some ways, is a very, very much an overachiever. And he, you know, it's almost like he
I think you're very right in the words you're using, overachiever. Whether he was brilliant, not so much as he just really learned from Phil Spector. I mean, those first songs he did with Sonny and Cher, they were all very much produced exactly the way Phil Spector would have
done them. Wall of Sound. Yeah, they were the Wall of Sound.
Yeah.
That was
and they were great songs. I don't know how much of the input was him in the writing of them or the producing of them, though. I'm sure he had quite a bit to do with them because I didn't know much about the music business back then. But I suspect that, yeah, like you said, overachiever and worked very hard and diligently. You know, my buddy Gary Owens, you remember Gary Owens?
Sure. Oh, yeah, from Laugh-In, right? Laugh-In.
Yeah, Laugh-In, yeah, announcer. He's not doing very well right now.
Yeah.
But he told me that he introduced them to each other in a restaurant.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, I never knew that. And he says, yeah, I introduced them at the, I think he said it was the Brown Derby, or whether it was that or not. But he said he's the one that introduced them to each other in a restaurant, which is interesting trivia for anybody.
Now, did he give the impression that she was being opportunistic by getting involved with Sonny?
No, I think
you think it was what I'm asking basically is, do you think it was a love match, or do you think that Cher was opportunistic and got involved with Sonny?
Well, Cher was like when she got involved with Sonny,
17 years old.
She was more than 17 or
yeah, maybe
16,
younger than
17,
that.
Huh?
Right, she was
and
young.
You know, a woman or a girl at that age can be easily manipulated, and I would suspect that she was probably manipulated to a great degree by Sonny in those early years, but.
Father figure, maybe.
He made them stars. Now, as far as the Sonny and Cher show, I don't think he had anything to do with that being a hit. They just had a couple of great producers who knew how to work with them, you know.
You know, let me remind everybody once again that this is Frank McKay, and Murray Langston is the author of Journey Through the Unknown. Please get this book. It's supposed to be wonderful. It's on Amazon. And Murray Langston is better known as, or also known, I should say, as the Unknown Comic. People remember him from The Gong Show and Sonny and Cher and 800 different television shows. Quite a career he's had, and the father of two wonderful young ladies. And it sounds like you got your priorities in the right place, that's for sure. But jumping back to Sonny and Cher, I had Dick Smothers on the show not too long ago, and Sonny and Cher is what replaced, if I can remember correctly, that when the Smothers Brothers got taken off the air, I think they replaced it with Sonny and Cher. Is that right?
I don't remember that happening. The way I saw it, I mean, Sonny and Cher actually got the show because they guest-hosted Merv Griffin. Merv Griffin had to take some time off,
yeah.
And they guest-hosted it, and the powers that be, I forget the name of the... Frank Silverman, whatever his name was. I think it was...
Fred Silverman.
Fred Silverman, that was his name.
Yeah, president of NBC. Oh, yeah, but right, then he went to NBC.
And he liked the way they hosted in the banner when they hosted Merv Griffin for a week, and he said that's where he got the idea for the summer show. So it was a summer show, only meant to do 6 or 7 episodes, but it was a big hit during the summer, and then we got picked up for the year. But
how did you get the gig?
Specifically being a replacement of but it could have been because they were fired by CBS, and maybe they were looking for.
Yeah, well, that's what Dick Smothers told me. So I mean,
True then.
Well, let me ask you.
I never heard that, so that's a bit of new trivia for me.
I asked you in the beginning of the interview about a little bit of your history, but give me a little bit of your history. How did you get to Sonny and Cher, at least? Tell me that.
Well, when I first came to L.A., I mean, I started all kinds of... I worked in these... I didn't really want to do stand-up. I never thought I could do stand-up. I had a tremendous fear of getting on a stage. So, I wanted to follow in the Martin Lynn Lewis thing, so I got a partner. Tried to work out comedy routines with a partner being like a Martin and Lewis. In fact, again, I write about it in the book, the first place I ever worked was a little place called Canopo's with a guy named, I'm blanking on his name, Tim.
Whatever. Well.
Oh, Mike, that's right, because it was two guys, Mike and Murray. And we formed this little team, and we started doing. We worked this place, Canopo's, with another group, another duo who was just starting out, named Cheech and Chong.
Ah, that's
yeah, they worked for nothing. We all worked for a hamburger a night at this little place.
Yeah.
And so anyway, I worked at this little place, and we used to the nights we'd have 2-3 people in the club sometimes, and we'd end up doing each other's act a lot of times. And it's funny because I just talked to Cheech maybe about 5-6 months ago. he gave me a call through some friends, and we reminisced about those days. And but anyway, so from it happened so fairly fast, because I when I was working with Cheech and Chong, then me and my partner broke up, and there was a club owned by Red Fox. You know Red Fox.
Sure, Sanford and Son.
And so I went over there and started working with this black guy named Freeman King, and we ended up opening for Red Fox. Before Red Fox was Sanford and Son, this was, but he was still pretty popular with his party.
Oh, he was a huge, by the way, he was a huge stand-up, you know, from...
Yeah, he was very popular, and he owned his own nightclub. So me and Freeman put a bunch of sketches together, me and this black guy, my buddy, and we ended up opening for Red Fox, and that's where we actually got seen by these by this agent. It's funny, I can still remember her name, Sue Golden, who saw us and said that Sonny and Cher were putting a show together, and they were looking for some regulars, and so they had Freeman and I go in an audition, and we got it from that. That's how simple it was, you know.
Jeez, wow.
Yeah, and then from that, like I said, from that I ended up buying a nightclub.
What was the name of your nightclub?
Where a lot of guys started, like Michael Keaton started at my place.
What was the name of your nightclub?
It was called Showbiz.
Showbiz, okay.
But, Gallagher started there. Michael Keaton, Letterman started working on my place before he became famous. And I write quite extensively about that in my book, too, about that nightclub that I had. Deborah Winger was one of my waitresses.
No kidding.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Let's remind everyone that the name of the book is Journey Through the Unknown, and it's a play on words because he's the unknown comic.
This is my career, my little baby career that I had for a good 40, 50 years. I mean, I still have it. I still do gigs once in a while, but like I said, it's hard to get me out. But
800 TV shows. I mean, that's mind-blowing, actually. That's
800, and that's, well, the only series I was at, well, I was on, you know, the Sonny and Cher show for 4.5 years, but those... That was 22 shows a year, so that'd only be like 80 shows.
Still, it'll
be 800.
That's 10% of your shows. I mean, there's a lot of shows. And that's the longest run you really had, right?
That was the longest run. Well, then, yeah, that's longer than the Gong Show. Well, wait, no, the Gong Show was 150 shows. So.
Oh, I thought you were kidding. I didn't know whether to take you serious. Did you do 150 Gong shows?
Oh, no, I appeared on the Gong Show about 150 times. Yeah.
Wow. Now, what happens there? Let me ask you real quick about the Gong Show. It's to me, it was a very entertaining show. And I was a kid when it was on.
It was the first real reality show.
It was. I was just going to say that.
The average person off the street could get on television. They didn't have that before that.
Yeah, it was like a reality game show. You know,
it was a reality game show. Yeah.
It was very clever. And again, you know, you mentioned Chuck Barris. I mean, Chuck Barris did the Newlywed Game, wasn't that his show? And
his show, Newlywed Game, the Dating Game was his. A show called Treasure Hunt was his.
Chuck Barris, a brilliant guy. I mean, you know.
Yeah, he was like I said, and the book he wrote, you know, which ended up being a movie directed by George Clooney.
Yeah, I loved it. I thought it was excellent. Disturbing, because you don't know whether he's kidding or not.
Well, I know he was kidding.
He was kidding. You know the guy, right?
Well, he just said that when he started writing his bio, he thought it would be too boring, so he wanted to spice it up. So he paralleled it with this fictional life.
See, that's even brilliant. If you think about it.
Yeah, it was brilliant, and he's right. If he would have just written, he might have sold, but it became a huge success because of the fact of him doing that. I mean, you're absolutely right. It was totally brilliant.
Yeah.
And to make people think that it was true, that he went around the world and killed 20, 25 people.
Well, I didn't think, by the way, I didn't think he did it. I thought what was disturbing is that it wasn't clear. I don't know the guy. I've never interviewed him. I'd love to interview the guy.
He lives in New York. He lives in Trump Towers.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, I know Trump. Trump we've had on, and I know him pretty well, actually. Maybe.
Yeah, well, last I heard he lived, that's where he was living when I was down there, last time I had lunch with him. And he also keeps a place down the coast.
Is he a recluse?
Yeah, always has been a reclusive type of personality. He actually had two homes in France where he would go to almost all the time. But then he got cancer, and I guess he overcame it, but he ended up selling those homes, and now he lives pretty much totally in New York.
We have about a minute and a half left, unfortunately, with Murray Langston. Murray, we got to get you a part two here, part three. This is fantastic.
Okay.
Murray Langston is the author of Journey Through the Unknown. This is Frank McKay. I'm thrilled to have him. He is better known as, or I shouldn't say better known. He's as well known as the unknown comic. People have seen him on the Gong shows and Sonny and Cher, and all totaled 800 plus shows, which is just incredible. And most impressive is the fine work you do with your two daughters. Your daughter, again, the 24-year-old, what's...
So her name is Maya Marie, and her group is called My Crazy Girlfriend. If you Google it, you'll see stuff happening, yeah. And, you know, she's signed with they're signed with Capitol Records now, which is a big deal, and they're putting a lot of money into them, and they signed with Warner Publishing for songwriting, and so... You know, it's amazing because she's been working at this since she was 15, and all of a sudden, in just the last 6-8 months, everything's been happening. But it took a long time.
Yeah. We have to definitely do a part two. Absolutely amazing stories here. The name of the book is Journey Through the Unknown. Please get it. It's out on Amazon. And Murray Langston, the unknown comic, is the author of this. And again, let's get a Twitter or a Facebook
for if anybody wants to. Yeah, I'm on Facebook, Murray Langston. If anybody wants to join me on Facebook, it's a picture of a baby with a bag over his head. And on Twitter, it's just @UnknownComic on Twitter, if anybody wants to follow. And on both those sites, I put jokes on every day. Everybody gets to come and laugh.
Murray Langston has been our special guest. Murray, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Frank. It's good talking to you.
Murray Langston's been our special guest. Thank you all for tuning in. We'll see you next time on Breaking It Down. This is Frank McKay.